जय राधमा भव कुंज बिहारे,
The following is a lecture by His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, delivered on the topic Srila Prabhupada's Struggle Behind Establishing ISKCON, delivered on 18th of July 2016 in Montreal, Canada.
Gopi Jana Bala Bha Jivala Dhari भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय हाय कृष्णा
killed was in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bed. He sent one to Bengali University in Montreal in 1896. And that book was there in the library at least in 1967. Maybe we should go and see if it is still there. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda corrected many imbalances in society. For example, at the time he was on the planet, there was an imposter claiming to be an incarnation of Vishnu. This imposter was flirting with people's wives, and deceived many. Can you all hear me clearly in the back? Can you all understand? Okay. So the British government handed over the investigation to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur knew this man is a cheater. He is not an incarnation of God. So he went to the forest. It is the most and he went there. This mystic yogi had powers by which he would know who has come and what was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's material name. Kedarnath Datta. So he said, Kedarnath Datta, I know who you have come. You don't know who I am. I am Rupala. I am Vishnu. And I am here to drive away the Britishness of India. And when I drive them away, I will make you the voice for it. So Thakur Bhaktivinoda said, if you are Vishnu, what are you doing in this forest? Why don't you go and reside in Jagannath Puri temple? That's where the Lord resides. And he said, that temple, that is not God, it's just a statue of wood. I am God. Thakur Bhaktivinoda had him arrested. And there was a big trial. Thakur Bhaktivinoda's wife, children, they all fell seriously ill. They were watching him on their deathbed. The whole town was saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has imprisoned God. So this is his punishment. And they were telling Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please release this man. But Thakur Bhaktivinoda was confident that this man was a cheater. So he did not release him. Ultimately, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife and children all recovered. And this man committed suicide. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very bold preacher. And he had predicted that a powerful general would come, Maharathi, who will take these teachings to the Western countries. In my room, I have a Vaishnava songbook. It's in my room. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur had prayed that please may the Lord send, that Martin, please may the Lord send somebody who can take these teachings, who can spread Krishna consciousness. And in response to the prayer, who did the Lord send? Who? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who he described as a faithful Vishnu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very powerful preacher. He never sat with his back against the wall. He would put on tilak, not even looking in the mirror. And he established the way of birth. But this is another day. Also knew the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prediction has to be endeavored to be realized. So he said, many of his sannyasi disciples to the West to preach, they came back with admirable success. In 1921, a friend of Prabhupada told Prabhupada that there's a very powerful sage in a very powerful sage in Calcutta. I wanted to meet him. Prabhupada was born in a pious Vaishnava family. His father's name was Gormonde. And Gormonde would regularly serve Vaishnavas. He did not care whether they were genuine or not. And whenever these sadhus would be leaving home, he would tell them, please bless my son, that he becomes a great devotee of Lord Krishna. And at a young age, Prabhupada would organize a Rath Yatra. At the age of 7, Prabhupada would organize a Rath Yatra, which would resemble the Rath Yatra in Jagannath. You have the Rath Yatra every year in Montreal also. And this year you had special mercy from Lord Indra. He was pouring. So many of you walked in the rain. So Prabhupada was requested to meet Bhakti Sivananda. But Prabhupada was his friend. I have met many sadhus in my life. I'm not impressed by any of them. But Prabhupada's friend said, this sadhu is different. He's not like the others. So he virtually pulled Prabhupada to meet Bhakti Siddhanta. Bhakti Siddhanta, in a very first meeting, could see, here is a young man who can take Chaitanya's teachings to the best of the countries. So he told him, you're educated, young man. You speak very good English. Why don't you take Lord Chaitanya's teachings to the Western countries? At that time, India was a British colony. So Prabhupada said, boy, we should make our country, India, independent. Then people will listen to our message. But Bhakti Siddhanta Ji prevailed upon Prabhupada. The real independence is independence of the cycle of birth and death. So Prabhupada received this instruction in 1921. And Prabhupada was in a position where he did not fulfill his guru's order at that time. But nevertheless, the seed was planted. And he began to meditate, how can I fulfill this instruction? In 1936, 2 weeks before Bhakti Siddhanta Ji left the planet, he left the planet in Jagannath Puri. Prabhupada wrote a letter to him in which he said, you have so many sannyasi disciples. They're doing so much service to you. But I haven't done much to you. Please tell me what I can do. And Bhakti Siddhartha repeated the same instruction that he gave in 1921. You are an educated young man. Take these teachings to the Western countries. So Prabhupada was constantly meditating how to fulfill this order. And in 1924, what did Prabhupada start? He started a bad quote today. In 1924, he started publishing Bhakti Godhead. In the Bhakti Godhead magazine, Prabhupada would write very topical articles. Like he wrote an article, Sorry No Time. In this article, Prabhupada wrote about an important man he was preaching to. And Prabhupada was requesting him, please take a Krishna consciousness. And the man said, Swamiji, I'm very busy. You have no idea how busy I am. And the next day, he had a heart attack. Then he died. The Prabhupada was saying, his human life is grown so rare that you can end it any moment. So Prabhupada was constantly meditating, how can it fulfill his guru's order, which was, what was his order? In the Western world. Prabhupada started publishing Bhakti Godhead magazine. Then he published several small books. In 1952, the first Soviet cosmonaut went in outer space. And Prabhupada wrote a book right after that called Easy Journey to Other Planets, in which Prabhupada explained this desire to go to other planets is nothing new. But you can go to other planets not by some mechanical means, but how? By spiritual preparation. So Prabhupada took sannyas, started living in the Radha Dhamma temple, and he intensified his writing of Prabhupada had one small broken typewriter on which he translated the Srimad Bhagavatam first canto. He was a one-man army. You know what a one-man army is? One man who does everything. Translating, typing, publishing, distributing. And finally, after first canto part 3 was published, Prabhupada decided, now I should make another attempt to go to the West. He was always thinking, how can I go to the West? But Krishna did not give him much success at that point. But he was not discouraged. From this we can see how if we are determined to carry out the order of the Guru, Krishna helps. So finally, Prabhupada met one Mr. Agarwal in Mathura. And this Agarwal had a son who lived in America and was married to an American girl. Prabhupada question, Mr. Agarwal. Why don't you get your son to sponsor my trip to America? He said, okay. And within 3 months, Prabhupada got an invitation to come to America. The challenge before Prabhupada was, how to get to America? By plane, it was so expensive. And Prabhupada got an Indian passport, got a visa in America for how many months? 3 months. Prabhupada left India for a 3 month visa. But the question was, how would he go to America? So he approached different individuals if they could sponsor his trip. No one was ready. Then someone told Prabhupada, there's a pious lady called Srimati Murarji who has ships going all over the world who may be able to help. Prabhupada had already met this lady earlier. So, Prabhupada met this lady, Srimati Murarji. He said, Swamiji, you're nearly 70 years old. This is not the age to go to America. It's so cold over there. You don't know anyone there. You could fall sick. You may even die. You may not come back alive. Don't go there. She tried her best to discourage Prabhupada. But Prabhupada was determined. He said, no, it's my guru's order. When she saw that Prabhupada was determined, she facilitated Prabhupada's trip. What did she do? She arranged a free passage on a ship. What type of ship was it? Was it a luxury liner that people take for holidays? Cargo ship. Has anyone ever traveled on a cargo ship? It was a cargo ship. And there was only one cabin for one passenger. So Prabhupada left India on August 13, 1965, before many of you were born, given your previous bodies, at 9 a.m. Journey in a ship is never easy. You get seasickness, vomiting, which Prabhupada experienced. The captain of the ship was a very pious man. And Srimati Murarji, being a pious lady, had instructed him to especially look after Prabhupada. And his wife was an astrologer, palmist. So she saw Prabhupada's hand and she said, you will have some obstacles, but once you overcome these obstacles, your mission will be successful. When Prabhupada was a young child, his father had his horoscope. And the horoscope said, he will build a house in which the whole world can live. You understand? Prabhupada will build a house in which the whole world can live. Which Prabhupada did build a house. So, Prabhupada's journey was full of challenges. 13th day of the journey, he had a heart attack. Mild one, not a major one. And the next day, he had another heart attack. So after he had two heart attacks, Prabhupada thought, my mission will not be successful. I should just go to America and come back to India. But then the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, don't worry, your mission will be successful. Then Prabhupada died in Boston in September 17th, 1965. Prabhupada undertook a 35-day journey from Calcutta to where? New York. And he arrived in Boston on September 17th. The captain of the ship took Prabhupada around the city, and Prabhupada saw how deeply rooted everybody was in Maya. So Prabhupada began to wonder, who is going to listen to my message of pure devotional service? People here are so addicted to sense enjoyment. And then Prabhupada wrote a poem, a beautiful poem, that is the Vaishnava Sambhu. I'll just read you verses. My dear Lord Krishna, you're so kind upon the useless soul, but I don't know why you brought me here. So Krishna brought Prabhupada to America. Prabhupada said, I'm a useless soul. That's the nature of an advanced devotee. He doesn't think he has any qualification. Just like Krishna's Prabhupada says, don't even take my name. If you take my name, your good quality will go away. The Prabhupada said, I'm a useless soul. What do you have brought me? But I guess he has some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? And then Prabhupada says, in the end he says, my dear Lord, but rather on his mercy, anything is possible. Just like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said, by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a blind man can see, a lame man can cross mountains, a deaf man can speak, a dumb man can speak, and a deaf man can hear. The Prabhupada said, my dear Lord, you have brought me here where everyone is so addicted to sense enjoyment, but your mercy and Radharani's mercy, anything is possible. So Prabhupada arrived in New York on what day? September 19, 1965. And he went to the residence of Gopal Agarwal. Who was Gopal Agarwal? The man who sponsored Prabhupada's trip. But Gopal Agarwal was living in a small city called Butler, Pennsylvania. Has anyone ever been to Butler, Pennsylvania? And in a small city, there was a big steel plant where Gopal Agarwal used to work. Prabhupada stayed in their house. But then everybody in the town was phoning Mrs. Agarwal and saying, who is this Indian Swami who has come to stay in your house? So Mrs. Agarwal, rather than reply to everyone individually, she arranged a press conference. The press conference was very widely covered. And in one newspaper, they showed Prabhupada with the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, three volumes. And it said, Bhaktivedanta Swami, a prominent Sanskrit scholar, has come to America to preach. This article was read by one professor, and the professor was teaching philosophy in a college called Slippery Rock College. Can you understand the name? Slippery Rock College. So, Prabhupada was invited to give a lecture at this college. Prabhupada lectured all Krishna consciousness. The response that Prabhupada got from the American students was very encouraging. And Prabhupada thought, now I should preach to the Americans. So Prabhupada left Butler, Pennsylvania, and came to New York. He didn't know New York. He didn't know anyone in New York. He had how much money did Prabhupada leave India with? Get on. It was about $7. And on the journey to America, Prabhupada sold one Bhagavatam set to the captain of the ship for $20. So that's all that Prabhupada had. So he came to New York. He stayed in the ashram of one Dr. Mishra. Dr. Mishra was a prominent Sanskrit scholar. And he had a big ashram. But he was an impersonalist. Impersonalist means one who doesn't believe in the personal form of God. Dr. Mishra had a big ashram in New York. And Prabhupada stayed in his ashram. Because Prabhupada was staying there, many people got attracted to him. And Prabhupada used to sing very sweetly to him. And as a result, Dr. Mishra saw many of his students getting attracted to Prabhupada. So he asked Prabhupada to leave. So Prabhupada had no place to go. He came to the Bowery. Have any of you been to the Bowery? No. So the Bowery is the place where all the drunkards hang around. And he was living in a loft of a drug addict who came in the night to attack her. And he then started doing kirtan in Tompkins Square Park. Slowly, slowly, Krishna sent Prabhupada some sincere souls. And Prabhupada started having lecture programs. Then this was the first time in America. Any Swami did kirtan on the streets. Then Prabhupada and his Western followers. Those days they used to call Prabhupada Swamiji. Not even Swamiji, it's Swami. Prabhupada wanted to open a center in New York and establish ISKCON as a legal body. So Prabhupada with the help of a lawyer, Karl Goldsmith, incorporated ISKCON into a religious body. When Prabhupada was incorporating ISKCON, some people suggested he call it the International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada asked them, what name should I give? They were saying, Prabhupada wanted to call it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. But they said, no, Krishna is something new in America. People won't relate to it. We should call it International Society for God Consciousness. Prabhupada said, God is too vague. We'll call it Krishna Consciousness. And he called it International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So on July 13th, 1966, in the city of New York, Prabhupada registered ISKCON. After registering ISKCON, Prabhupada was thinking, we should open a temple now. But Prabhupada had no money. He just had some hippie followers. Those days, America was involved in the Vietnam War. And the drug culture had just begun to, was expanding very much. A lot of people would take drugs. Why do people take drugs? To feel high. But do they feel high permanently? Feel high for some time. And then, again they feel low. So devotees made a pamphlet. Chant Hare Krishna and stay high forever. And then Prabhupada opened the first ISKCON temple. When he opened the first ISKCON temple, Prabhupada didn't have any money. He asked some of his followers if they would help in opening a temple. So one follower said, I'll give you $20. Somebody said, $10. And this way, Prabhupada got pledges of $200. And Prabhupada rented a storefront on Second Avenue. Their storefront was at one time a boutique. And they had just emptied the boutique. And what was that boutique called? Bachelor's gift. A bachelor's gift in English means a gift that has no rival, no competition, the best gift. So when they vacated the store, they took all the goods out, but they forgot to clean their sign. So the devotees, when they saw their sign, they were very, very happy. So Prabhupada opened the first ISKCON temple in the whole world in July 1966. So this year we are celebrating the Golden Jubilee of ISKCON's incorporation in the society. And also the Golden Jubilee of the first temple opened by Prabhupada in the whole world. The first temple opened in which city? New York. So Prabhupada took a storefront. The rent was $125 and $75 for the rent for Prabhupada's apartment. It was opposite the temple. So slowly, slowly, the preaching began to expand. And Prabhupada's vision was to take the Chaitanya and the city into the whole world. He sent some disciples to San Francisco. And San Francisco was the second temple opened by ISKCON. It was in San Francisco that the first Rath Yatra was held by ISKCON. It's a nice story. One of Prabhupada's disciples, Malati, had gone to an Indian store where she saw these three small deities of Jagannath Kada Balram. She thought that these were Indian dolls, and she took one and brought it to Prabhupada. Prabhupada saw the doll and said, "This is not a doll, this is Lord of the Universe." And Prabhupada told them to investigate if there were two companions. She went back and she found the two companions, Subhadra and Balaram. So finally she brought all three to Prabhupada. Prabhupada placed them on his desk, offered respects, and told them the story of Lord Jagannath. And then he asked his disciples, "If anybody knows how to carve and they carve the big deities of Jagannath, and the first Rath Yatra was held by Prabhupada ISKCON in San Francisco in 1967. So next year we're going to celebrate the Golden Jubilee of the first Rath Yatra held by ISKCON." And then Prabhupada sent some fly from Calgary to here. And then Prabhupada sent some devotees to Montreal. And Montreal was the third temple opened by ISKCON. After establishing temples in North America, Prabhupada wanted to expand the preaching in Europe. So he sent three disciple couples, Gurudas and his wife, Mukundadas and his wife, and Shyamananda and his wife. And it was in Montreal where Prabhupada personally instructed them. And then they went to England. At that time the Beatles, you've heard of the Beatles? Were very famous. So these devotees got familiar with the Beatles. And then the Beatles produced an Apple record with the Vedic hymns and the Govindam prayer that you sing every day. And the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It became a big hit all over the world. So Prabhupada took his spiritual master's instruction very seriously. Prabhupada was constantly meditating how to fulfill the Guru's order. And eventually he was successful. Today there are more than 650 temples around the world. There is not a single part of the world where there is not a center. Prabhupada translated nearly 100 books. And these books are today translated in almost every major language of the world. And today, there are farm communities, there are 120 Govinda restaurants, and Krishna consciousness today is in every corner of the world. It's come. Preaching in Europe, इति विद्यार्थी जनता नगणाधिग्रह श्रीवदन प्रचार देवीक्षा मदे चंदो चेतन Prabhupada appeared on the planet to make Lord Chaitanya's prediction come true. And due to Prabhupada's hard work, Krishna consciousness is today expanded to every corner of this world. Krishna consciousness is a universal philosophy. This is not a sectarian philosophy meant for people of one country or one community. Krishna says, Ham Bija Pradhapada. The Bhagavad Gita is today available in almost every major language in the world. And people are reading it. Why? Well, the Bhagavad Gita answers all questions, gives us an alternative how to lead this human life. So let's take the Krishna consciousness very seriously. Devotees all over the world are planning major programs to honor the Golden Jubilee. And the Baba was telling me that there's a major program planned in Montreal also. We've had major programs all over the world. And all over the world, devotees are enthusiastic organizing this. In England, London, the ex-British Prime Minister had come as a guest, and now he resigned. But you have it in Washington, they're having a major festival in September at the Kennedy Center. So, all over the world, devotees are taking on different pledges, commitments, to make Lord Chaitanya's teaching available freely. Lord Chaitanya did not discriminate who is fit, who is unfit. He freely distributed this knowledge to everyone. And we can see that this genuine Hare Krishna mantra purifies the heart. Why do we chant the holy name? The holy name is no different from the Lord. When we chant the holy name, the heart gets cleansed. Our hearts are heavily contaminated. And the easiest medium is the chanting of the holy name. Not only does this chanting purify the heart, this chanting also gives you another buddhi, vardhanam, gives you real happiness. So we are all looking for happiness. We are endeavoring on so many paths, but this path will give you real happiness. So all of you are fortunate. You got connected to a pure movement. Please take to this chanting process very seriously. Chant the holy name. Read the Gita. Stay in devotee association. This association is very necessary if you want to make spiritual advancement. And be determined to succeed on the spiritual path. If you sincerely endeavor, Krishna will help. As they say, God help those who help themselves. So please take the Krishna mind seriously.
Yes. What is the best way to
Very good question. What is the best way to celebrate the 50th anniversary? I can tell you what devotees all over the world are doing. Devotees all over the world are taking on special projects. One project that ISKCON Society has taken, Christian Peace Book Distribution. How many books? What is the book distribution? No, no, they have a formula. If every now ISKCON had a congregation of over 100,000 devotees, there are nearly 100,000 initiated devotees, and we have a huge congregation. So if every member distributed 50 books in the whole year, you can imagine what it's going to be. I was in America. There they have planned 20% increase in book distribution. So devotees are doing book distribution. Devotees are planning big celebrations. New temples are opening. And they're dedicating to expanding the preaching. So we should do something over here also, do something big. And as Krishna says, those who endeavor make over their life and preserve over there. So Krishna is always ready to help us. More questions? Only question before that. You go out and book distribution. We should all try. Prabhupada said, one can never repay the debt to the spiritual master. But one can attempt to repay the debt by expanding the preaching. So all of us should try to preach. There is so much suffering. Have you ever been on a visit to a hospital, an old home? I was visiting in Vancouver, an old age home, a few days ago. How much suffering? Birth and disease, old age, don't spare anyone. It is just that when we are young, we don't acknowledge that. So take the Krishna consciousness seriously. And if we sincerely try, Krishna will help. Krishna says, those who worship me with devotion, I preserve their hand and I make them what they like. One further question. So thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to His Holiness Gopal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. For more information, please visit zkgoswami.com.